Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Hopefully, having a great day. And today, continuing our journey into the Gospel of John, we have the famous baptism scene in John 1, 15 through 34 today. And as you can see by the map, the area we're going to be looking at today is it's about 20 miles from Jerusalem, and I find it interesting that if you look at this real estate between Jerusalem and the Jordan River, pretty rough territory. I know that some believe that many people used to take that travel up from Jerusalem to see John the Baptist. He had quite a ministry, and it wasn't an easy trek to get out there and see him. So found that rather interesting that they would trek over that mountain area. Heard someone say it's there's like a couple of thousand elevation drop too, so quite a treacherous walk out there back in the day when there was no roads and stuff. We'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time. Good to spend in your word and help us to see something new today, something that you wanted, that it's important to our lives today. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. So, this particular episode is actually seen in all four Gospels. Pretty important scene. It's pretty much the start of Jesus' ministry. First time that he's identified as being someone very special, as we'll see in these verses. I'll start reading here in John 1:15. John, that's speaking of not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist, bear witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." I thought I'd just review real quick the other three Gospels that's also mentioned in. In Matthew, it's in 3:3, where it says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Elias," which is saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And then we got in Mark 1:3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And Luke 3:4, "As it is written in the book of the words of Elias the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his path straight." So, like you see, it's pretty important if it's mentioned four times in all four Gospels, important time frame. And so back to John 1:16. "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And at this point, I just wanted to reflect on that fact that we also find over in Titus 3:4. This would be Paul reflecting back on this period. And he states, "But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Important aspect to remember there is that by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and following him, you actually become co-heirs as being one with him for the kingdom of heaven. Important important aspect to remember. It's not just where we're going to go when we die, but this is a realize that we are embarking on a journey that the Lord is going to be helping us to become more and more like Him. I think that's something key to remember. And over in Romans 11:6, it also, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Basically saying that the one aspect that Jesus brought to us is that we really don't have to do anything. Some might say that, works without well, grace is dead, and I don't know where that's from, but just came to mind. I think it's an important thing to remember that some people say that you have to do this or do that to be saved, and the Lord did it all for us on the cross. But I also believe that as a true believer, that you don't once you're saved and blessed by the Holy Spirit, you can't help but want to be involved. You just enjoy being in the family of the Lord so much that you like doing things for Him. It's not because you are required to. It's just that you want to. So I think people get that backwards. They think they got to do this or do that to be saved. No, you don't. It's just you want to be able to do it. So back to John 1:18, continuing. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And remember, again, this is like 20 miles from Jerusalem where the temple is, so it's quite a walk. But there was so much concern about this preacher out there out in the Jordan preaching about a Messiah, a Savior, that the temple sent out a team to find out what's going on. And here's their conversation with John the Baptist. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "And art thou a prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" And here's the famous quote I mentioned before in the other Gospels. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Elias." And again, review from yesterday, but it's in Isaiah 43. And we'll just, that's where the, this would be a prophecy moment. And Isaiah had foretold that the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And so that's what they're referencing there in John 1:23. What John is saying is that he is him. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptize thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, nor that prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lackest I am not worthy to unloose." And these things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." And I guess reflect back that I'm going to jump ahead a little bit here to John 10:25, where it's I think it's noted that I found it interesting this verse here, based on the fact that John saw Jesus coming and knew who he was, and I often thought that you know, when we get raptured and we see Jesus for the first time, you know, it's going to be a whole bunch of people up there. Are we going to be able to recognize them? And I truly believe that as a true believer, that we won't have any trouble identifying who he is. But in John 10:25, it reflects on this. And this is Jesus talking. And this particular time is when they were up on, let's see, this was the, one time he was preaching out by the temple. And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. This is the part I was trying to emphasize. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than I, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I think this is a great promise to remember, and also that I and my Father are one. Important verses, and then also in Genesis 22:7, it was foretold, and about this day, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father," and he said, this is the famous scene up on the same hill that that most believe the temple is on now, that was on then at Jesus' time, foretold way back in Genesis when Abraham went with his son Isaac to sacrifice on the hilltop. And Isaac is talking to his father, and his father is explaining about what God's plans are. So reading verse Genesis 22:7, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together." And again, very symbolic period that Abraham and Isaac did, foretelling a couple of thousand years beforehand of what's going to be happening here during Jesus' ministry. But I brought that up mainly because I truly believe that that as followers of Christ, that John also, when he had seen Jesus walking up towards him, knew right away it was him, based on the fact that if you remember back to when Jesus and John were still in the womb, that John recognized Jesus when he was inside his mother Mary, and that he leaped in Elizabeth's womb. So he knew Jesus from day one. And so I think that he knew that was Jesus just by the sense of the Spirit. Kind of reminds me of times I've happened upon people, and you get to just get that feeling that you have a common connection with them, and come to find out that they're actually believers in the Lord and their fellow Christians. And for some reason, the Holy Spirit, when it's inside you, can identify other people. It's an unusual feeling. I know I've experienced it, and actually had somebody ask me one time, "How did you know that I was a Christian?" I said, "I don't know. I think it's our spirits just know." So I like that verse there in John that talks about when John announces that, let's go back and read it again. John 1:29, where he says, the next day John sees Jesus coming unto him, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world." He just knew. So on to verse 30. "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him." I think the same this same Spirit that he saw descending like a dove onto on Jesus is what the disciples or apostles also experienced that day at Pentecost, that everybody could see. "And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Ghost." And that's reflected back to in Isaiah 11:2 is also foretelling of this. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord." So that particular moment was also foretold in Isaiah 11:2. So John 11:1-34, and this is where we'll end for today. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So again, all these are prophecies that are being foretold from beforehand. And so again, I still find it rather interesting that I know I'm a curious person. And obviously, these Pharisees were curious people. They came up to find out what was going on. But none of this stuff seemed to click in their minds. And these men, you know, studied the Torah, all this and all the prophets beforehand, and didn't seem to really recognize who Jesus really was. And I find that fascinating that with all this evidence that they didn't see it. That's where we'll end for today. And they come up with a couple of pictures back to the map. And this is the area that it's all built up now. They actually do baptisms there now. This is the Jordan, and an area near the Jordan where you can go today and get baptized in the Jordan River. And they figure this is the same location that Jesus would have been where John the Baptist was baptizing. And there's another view of the Jordan River. It was a lot bigger then too. Now they take so much water out of the Jordan for use in and around Israel that the Jordan River is actually pretty narrow now. They figure it was a lot wider back then. I give you an idea of the area, what it might have looked like in Jesus' time. So that's all I had for today. And with a prayer, thank you, Father, so much. I praise you so much for this day. And today being the last day of 2020, we look forward to what you have in store for us for next year. Looking forward to spending a little time reflecting back and looking forward to whatever you have for us for the new year. And bless you and thank you so much for all you do for us. Can't do it without you, Lord. I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.